Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
They call me the breeze. I keep blowing down the road. They call me the breeze. I keep blowing down the road.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us every Thursday at about this time to give us a preview of the Gulf Breeze News, of which she is the editor, Lisa Newell. Hey, Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Andrew, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. Well, happy Thursday as long as you don't have to dodge the potholes in Tiger Point, right?
I think that problem has been solved. I mean, there still are going to be potholes, but sinkholes were the problem that caused so much traffic tie-up on Friday, in addition to a couple of wrecks on the Garson Point Bridge. And so hopefully they've got that fixed by now. Those sinkholes, we have a picture of them repairing them. I think that Tiger Point Boulevard is open. That is an alternate route, of course, for anyone who wants to get off of Highway 98 because it is backed up several times during the day as people try to get onto the Garson Point Bridge to take a detour.
Well, you get all of this water, and you're bound to have issues, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have had quite a bit of rain, but I think it was something to do with a busted water main, but I'm not positive about that, but I think they've got it fixed.
Well, we'll take it. A solution is always a better thing. You also have a prom, right?
Yeah, so the prom, the history of the prom is that it had gotten to be a little bit out of control with people just stopping by the prom and then going to these house parties on the beach.
By the way, Davis has his hand raised as a participant of that tradition.
Yes, Davis,
go ahead.
Because of you, they have had to change it. But they started doing some alternatives and they started having these, kind of fun gatherings. And then they would bring, kids in and they would give away iPads and they would have donut towers and, music and sometimes even boat rides around Little Sabine Bay and different things like that. And it became kind of the party became bigger than the prom. Hmm. And so this year, because of COVID, the school decided not to have a school-sponsored prom. So Sean York, who was one of the people who, when he was with Gulf Breeze United Methodist Church, was involved with the after party. He is now with a new church, and he and his new church sponsored a prom, and they brilliantly partnered with Whataburger, and they called it What a Prom, and they served honey butter chicken biscuits.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. That Whataburger is just so popular. The kids love Whataburger, and they hang out there as much as they can, so that was a great partnership.
Outstanding.
And they had about 350 kids that came to it, and no problems, nothing reported so far of any shenanigans going on. So hopefully it was a success. And it might just be that in the future, the school decides, let it be a private party. It might be something that they want to do in the future.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
You also have seniors doing the rock this year, right?
Yeah. So the seniors last year, they had such a raw deal because of COVID that the city of Gulf Breeze got involved and they helped them create a way to get together. And they took a piece of the Pensacola Bay Bridge that was demolished and they painted it and they made it suitable for them to write their names on or, message on. And they created a little gathering point at a lookout point, which is the high spot on Shoreline Drive, right overlooking the ball fields. And there's a tree there. And anyway, so that was stood there for the whole year. And this year's seniors, of course, they have had it a little bit better, but they are going to get to autograph that rock on Friday. They're going to have a party that starts out at Shoreline Park South. They're going to have what they call Senior Sunset. They're going to have a little cookout. They're going to have beach volleyball, cornhole, and then, of course, they can also sign the rock.
So I love it.
Something fun, hopefully an annual tradition to make the kids feel that, the city appreciates them and knows what they're going through. So hopefully things are going to get better.
Yeah, no, I love anything that's going to make a little bit more of a party, a little bit more fun, a little bit more of a, especially with the deprivation of social things a lot these days. That's good. You've also got a story in the paper today about water and sewer rates.
Yes. Several years ago, the city of Gulf Breeze raised the rates on people who were non-city residents with the feeling that they were not paying taxes to the city, Well, a new proposal that they talked about Friday at the South Santa Rosa Utility Systems Board meeting was establishing parity so that everyone will pay the same rates. And, of course, they talked about the expansion of the Tiger Point wastewater facility and some other things. Just quite a bit going on. And so we have a story about that as well in the Gulf Breeze News.
Outstanding. We've got an art show, right?
Yeah. So, of course, the last two festivals, art shows that the Gulf Breeze Arts Association has put on have been canceled due to COVID. And they decided, well, we need to get these artists a way to showcase their art because a lot of them have been very prolific during the shutdown and everything. So they are going to have an art show in the Rec Center. It's going to be up for 10 days. It's going to be from the 15th through the 24th. So that's not 10 days, it's 9 days. And they're going to have a kickoff party Saturday night from 5 to 7. And you can come and meet the artists and see the art. And the art show is going to be open and be available for viewing anytime that the Rec Center is open. So during, you know, all times of the day. But the welcome party is going to be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, so everyone will have a chance to get together and kind of, you know, have social hour.
Yeah, you know, you make
2 hours.
You made a good point right in the beginning there when you said that I hadn't been thinking about this, but obviously artists have had as much pent-up time as the rest of folks, and so the ability to, you know, producing it without as much opportunity to sell it. That's an interesting observation about the pandemic. And you've got also a story today in the paper on the delinquent taxes.
Actually, we have a delinquent tax list. We won the bid, so we have to put it in for 3 weeks. This is the second week, so if you buy the Gulf Breeze News this week, you will see that we have got the delinquent taxes for Santa Rosa County in there. And you can check out, what's going on and see if there's any good deals to be had and possibly buy those tax deeds. We'll see there's quite a bit out there, actually.
And make sure you're not on the list because you might not realize.
Absolutely. And I did find that out. And, you know, a good thing about it being online on our website is that you can search. So that's another good thing.
That's certainly convenient. Yeah, it's like, you know, you got to read the obits just to make sure you're not in there, right? I mean, you got to read the tax keys just to make sure that you're not on the list. Well, the Gulf Breeze News comes out every Thursday. Lisa Newell is the publisher. She gives us a preview of the paper so you can find out all the cool stuff that's in there. Lisa, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks so much.
You bet.
So going forward, we're going to first and foremost hit a campaign that's to educate the public on when to call 911. When do you need to call 911? So we just had a situation last night where a lady in a nursing home just didn't want to be there. So we sent an ambulance to go evaluate her. She had no medical emergency or anything, but our crews transported her, but just because she didn't want to be there.
Good grief. You cannot be calling 911 and getting an ambulance just because you want to get a taxi. But this is part of the problem, is controlling these costs of these misuses of the 911 and the EMS system. Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety interim right now, talking on the Coffee with the Commissioner with Jeff Bergosh yesterday about this, that, you know, and by the way, good news. Janice Gilley told us that they've hired a new EMS chief who's going to come in and has experience solving a lot of these issues in Alachua County. So that's very, very good news. But yeah, look, we can't have this idea like EMS is going to take everybody all the time for any reason without any questions asked.
We had the old saying, you call, we haul. Well, we're not at that point anymore. We can't, you call, we haul. We got to evaluate, assess, and make sure you meet certain criteria to put our resources toward you. So we've had people call to charge your cell phones. We've had people call to turn the TV off. We've had people call, yes.
Called to charge the phone and turn the TV off? Are you kidding me?
They were sitting there ready to go to the hospital. They get to the hospital. They refuse against medical advice. And then they walk across the road to the mall. We have people who call for toothaches. We have people who call, they fell 4 days ago, and now they want to go to the hospital. These are things that people could take a ride in a car to their primary care physician or to an urgent care and get those things handled, but they call us. They always call 911.
Man, they're going to put out a public information campaign to improve awareness about when to and when not to. But that is not, oh my God, that is not why you should be calling EMS. 822 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
I just like to ride with the siren and the lights flashing.
I like to go fast through all the cars. Yeah, make everybody pull over for me.
oil pumping again through the Colonial Pipeline that was shut down over a cyber attack. Colonial announcing it restarted operations serving much of the South and East Coast yesterday afternoon. It could take days, though, to get that all back to normal. With Israel and the Palestinians on the brink of full-scale war, President Biden says he's talked with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the escalating violence, Biden telling reporters Israel has the right to defend itself. Talk about an incentive to get a vaccine. Ohio, trying something new. Five adult residents will have the chance to win $1 million. All you got to do is get a shot. Governor Mike DeWine announcing starting May 26th, every Wednesday, they will randomly choose a $1 million winner who needs to have had at least one dose of the vaccine at the time their name is chosen.
So it's a vaccine lottery.
Yep. You don't get the vaccine. You got to take it.
You take the vaccine. That makes you eligible for
makes
the lottery.
You eligible for the lottery, and you could win $1 million.
Do you have to? Do you know if you have to also sign up, or are you automatically enrolled?
I think it's just automatically. If you get a shot,
you're automatically enrolled, and you can win $1 million.
Win $1 million, and they're doing apparently 5 times.
Okay,
and they're using the pandemic money or whatever.
Given all of the things people will do for a chance at winning something,
I think lots of people will get a shot.
I picture that you're at some like charity event. And the gals come by with the 50-50 raffle tickets, and they've got the jab, you know, and they're like, hey, you want to be part of the 50-50 Vax Jab raffle?
Vax Jab raffle. I like that.
You like that? The Vax Jab raffle?
The Vax Jab raffle.
Oh, sure. Stick me. Do it now.
Stop it.
Are you going to be here for 15 minutes? Yeah. Is it okay to drink my beer? Well, whatever. Serious news. You know how the kids, the age was lowered to 12? Is that right? 12 this week? One of the questions that has come up, serious question, is because the recommendation had been previously you weren't supposed to get your vaccination if you had recently or were soon to get a different vaccination. They didn't want to have compounding vaccinations. They've eliminated that requirement or that advisory. So now they've said that there are so few adverse reactions to the vaccine that the concern about having multiple vaccines near each other in time is no longer in play. And so this is a question people were having for like getting their kids back to school is, you know, if you got to do vaccines for your kid otherwise, would you also get the vaccine for the kid at the same time you're doing the other vaccines? Previously, the advisory had been not to do that, and now they've said it's perfectly fine. There's no risk there. No problem having multiple vaccines at the same time in the same visit. 825 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, somebody texted in. This is a good question. They asked the question of, why is it that, or if with this requirement for searching for work, you know, putting in 5 job applications a week, and which is standard, by the way, in most places. And we had it. It just went on. They had a temporary waiver against that during the pandemic because there weren't any jobs, or at least for a while there weren't. Somebody says, is there a clear definition of look for work? I don't see how this solves the problem if people just apply and don't show up for the interview or follow through with any of the rest of the process. Well, the back end protection there is part of this announcement that the employers who can't get a hold of you are supposed to report that you are not seriously searching for a job. And so you could lose benefits if all you do is put in the application and then refuse the job or won't show up for the interview or won't answer the phone call. So, yeah, there's actually a system in place to try to mitigate against that exact concern. Good question. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody had asked me the question, are they voting on the flag issue tonight at the Pensacola City Council and for the Pensacola Police Department? And the answer is yes. They're looking at that exactly tonight. They're also voting on the appointment of Eric Randall to be the chief of police. But the Citizens Police Advisory Committee recommendation that came forward was to change all of the badges and all the insignia again after just changing them under Hayward to get rid of the Confederate battle flag to be the new, you know, to be the second national stars and bars flag. And now we're going to vote again, maybe, to approve $300,000 almost in funding in order to replace that with the state of Florida flag. So, yes, that's actually something that they're going to be looking at tonight. I mean, they might vote no. You know, they might vote to pull it. I don't know. $300,000, though. There's a lot of different things that people, that was my reaction, too. I was like, how on earth can it be $300,000? $1,000 for something like that. There's just, what? You know, that seemed like such a ridiculous price tag. But when you actually look at all the different items, you know, you've got the badge, hat, breast, crime scene, detective, honor guard hat, honorary, extra badges, class B patrol shirt, and shirts and polos and canine shirts and winter jackets and uniforms and department patches and on and on and on and on, including vehicle decals. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff. In fact, I'm looking at this list, and the most expensive one, let me see if I can, it's kind of a lot to digest real quickly, but it looks like the shirts, am I reading this right, is one of the ones that's the most. Yeah, the Class B SS patrol shirt seems to be the one that's the most expensive, because there's 648 of them at $50 a piece. That's $32,000. That's the point. If you're going to, and that's what the mayor said to us the other day, is you can't just gradually do this, because then you're caught in a situation where you got some of the old, some of the new, which one really represents the department. You just do it or you don't do it. I just, you know, my thought is, well, when are we going to decide that the Spanish flag is no good? And how much will it cost to revamp then? And when will we decide that the French flag is no good? You know, those were not the most endorsing of human rights, equality, and American values administrations either, just for comparison. But we'll see tonight. Should be, you know, it's interesting. The hubbub over Confederate insignia has become less and less and less. Like, the fight back has become less and less over the years. So I don't know how much of a fight to expect over this tonight. But it is the one thing I see on the agenda that may make for the most involved discussion. We'll see.
Your money now. The stock market's open. The Dow's up 193 points at 33,780. NASDAQ's up 151 at 13,182, while the S&P is up 31 points at 4,094. Weekly jobless claims, the lowest in more than a year. Labor Department says first-time claims for unemployment benefits fell to 473,000 last week, down from the previous week's number of 507,000. Producer prices increased more than expected last month, another hotter-than-expected inflation metric. April's producer price index rising 0.6% above the level in March. U.S. and British Airlines canceling flights to and from Tel Aviv as violence between Israel and Palestinian militants escalates. American Airlines canceled flights from JFK today after scrubbing them Wednesday. United called off flights Tuesday and Wednesday, and Delta Airlines also canceled flights yesterday. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Davis. This is going to get dangerously close to a real issue. So perfect. I try not to do anything that's serious for our frivolous topic, but here goes. Here's the question, okay? Where's the right place to park? Where's the right place to park? In the following circumstance. I was at Whisper Bay recently doing our bike ride. And if you know Whisper Bay, it's the road's not that wide, okay? Two cars wide, probably 22 feet, I'm guessing, something like that. Maybe 24, I don't know. But there's no curb, very common in our area, no curbs. And then there's people's, you know, lawns. But in that area with a lot of shade, a lot of trees with shade, the lawns are not always much of anything. In fact, a lot of times they're just kind of sandy, you know, ground. There's not much growing there. So I'm always confused about where you are and where you're not supposed to park. And especially when there's not a curb, right? Because I guess you're allowed to park on the roadway. But I always figure, you know, in Florida, we park on the lawn. That's very common. But when it's not you don't want to park on somebody's nice grass, obviously. But if you park on the street, you're clogging up the street. So what's the right place to park? I'll tell you what we did, okay? I parked as far away from the house as I could, like to the property line between them and the next house, and I parked on what was definitely somebody's lawn, whatever you want to call it, but it was sandy ground. You know, it wasn't anything I was going to damage. And when I came back to the car, he kind of came out and scolded me. He's like, hey, don't park on my lawn anymore. And he was very nice about it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, just didn't know where I was supposed to park, no big deal. But my question for you, 437-1620, where should you park? Where should you park in a scenario where the road's not really big enough for you to park on the road, and it's kind of somebody's lawn. Where should you park? 437-1620, 437-1620. What's your thought, Davis?
So, going back to my college days, you know, every now and then there might be a house party or two. So, you get into the neighborhood, you got to find a place to park, mm-hmm. right? And obviously, no. The driveway likely is already full at this point. And I, my approach has always been find the area where I would never park in somebody's grass, but I would have to park on the side of the road. But find the area where you're not in front of somebody's house, but you're sort of in between properties.
That's right. I agree. Same thing if you
can. You're in between this person's property and the next person's property. But also, if possible, I really try not to park anywhere near in front, like in view side of the house, if I can. If I can be off to the side somehow, if like it's on the corner mm-hmm. street.
Unobtrusive.
If I can be unobtrusive, then I would rather do that. So well, I try to take the corner house off to the side if I can.
If there is a kind of a undeveloped lot or an open public area, something like that, obviously that's better. But what if you don't have that? What you've got is houses with no curb and lawns or sort of their property, but there's probably some right-of-way, public right-of-way. I don't know for sure how that all works because for maintenance, sometimes it extends past the asphalt. Is it okay or is it not okay to park on somebody's lot, I guess, for lack of a better word? 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody here says, you don't park. Okay. And I'll give you an example. Like, we live in a neighborhood where there's curbs, and I always feel like it's weird if somebody parks in front of your house, but I know they're allowed to. Now, in a curb situation, you definitely don't pull up on somebody's lawn and it's a curb. I mean, come on. Although there are situations where streets are narrow, and I know it's common enough to do, so there may be circumstantial situations. Somebody here says, you put cones out around your vehicle, you'll look official and no one will complain. Of course, the alternative is what people will do on their lot if they don't want you parking there is they'll put stickers down, you know, I mean, not like metal rods with the reflectors on it, you know, or rocks or decorative lumber or, you know, people do stuff to signal to you, no parking here. But if it's their land, they shouldn't really have to, right? I mean, you shouldn't be parking on people's land without their consent. So that's why I didn't fight with the guy because I thought, I mean, saying it's a lawn was a bit much, but I, you know, hey, it's your land. That's fine. Somebody here says you park on the county right away. Well, what is the right away in that situation? Is it, you know, is it extend over onto the grass or is it only on the street? Somebody here says 437. How about knocking on the door of the house and asking permission? Oh, that's nice. Yeah, no, that's a going out of your way. Of course, what if nobody's home?
So we back in high school had the friend house.
By the way, I like the thought behind that one of give the other person the opportunity to say no, since it'd be their right to say no anyway.
Yeah. So we had the friend house group, you know, where like the parents always welcomed all the kids and whatnot. They lived in a cul-de-sac, so everyone always parked in the middle of the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So cars would go around. You're still leaving the space so cars can drive, but we would literally park our cars in the middle of the cul-de-sac. You can't park every car there, but yeah, to a certain extent.
And I have actually seen, I had never seen this before, but I saw a cul-de-sac recently when we were biking that had markings in the middle of the cul-de-sac that said, don't park here, which I thought was kind of hilarious. I don't know if they have the authority to do it or whatever. 437-1620, 437-1620. If nobody is home and you can't ask them whether it's okay, then park somewhere where you can ask them. Now, see, my thought is, you know, can you not just park on the street? I just don't want to park on the street because then I'm clogging up the traffic. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we think about. 437-1620. Anything on the roadway side of the power poles or the power. Oh, that's a good point. If you can see the above ground utilities, then you're going to be parking on something that has an easement that at least would have your ability, right? Because they've got the easement in order to put the power. That's a very savvy. This is why I like asking people because they'll have a thought on this. And by the way, this one was personal experience. It's also been a discussion in the Santa Rosa County Commission because they're revising the land development code. It was a 500-page document. And I did wade through about 6 hours of that meeting the other day. And we haven't had a chance to talk about it. I keep promising we're going to, but I will. Tomorrow, we'll talk about it. There's some really interesting stuff in there, including one of the things they talked about was whether you give the builders the ability to make the roadways narrower under certain circumstances, as long as they would provide that there would be only parking on one side of the street, and then you could get sidewalks, and then you could have utilities bundled on one side of the street as well, which is something that apparently the water utilities and the electric utilities don't want to be on the same side of the street because they're worried about. Anyway, so this is actually practical stuff that people are thinking about all the time. 437-1620. Somebody here says, don't park in the cul-de-sac. The cul-de-sac's designed to turn around in. Most subdivisions have a large county right-of-way off the asphalt before you get to private property. Try not to park on nice grass, which is always what I do. I mean, I would never park on somebody's grass. That whole business of parking on the lawn, I think it's the weirdest thing ever. I'm sorry. That's the northerner in me. That still looks even, you know, like your own house. But if it's dirt, sandy area, parking at the homeowner doesn't own the county right away. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to go look at the maps before we go anywhere.
That's a good answer. Sometimes you just have to be careful because I've had a neighbor in the past where we'll park on our property, but because the car was blocking view of a tree in his yard, he hated that we parked there. He's like, hey, would you mind moving the car that's parked on your side of the property? So sometimes you'll come across that kind of person.
Try to be a good neighbor anywhere near their yard. Try to be a good neighbor. We're trying to build a society here, you know? Try to be as good as you can. That's why I love the idea about asking for permission. You may not have to if there's a right of way, but still, you know, that's the go out of your way to be the better person kind of thing. 8:46 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. See, I warned you that one was a little bit in the real discussion realm as opposed to just plain frivolous, but that's okay. Once in a while, we can get close to real topics in this segment. Morning, 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know, recently at the Escambia County Commission, there was a moment where Commissioner Underhill just took a second to express some praise and thanks for locals. And I just thought it was a really cool moment. It didn't really have anything to do with the business of government, but it was the kind of thing that, you know, a lot of times we have reporting on bad things, you know, when they happen. And it was nice to see somebody just take a minute to report on something that was really cool that happened to his family that affects, I mean, really is a very cool local service. Here, I'll let Commissioner Underhill explain.
Most of the work that this board has to do up here, we're always focused on the things that are bad, the things that are wrong in the county, because those are the things that require our attention. But this is a county that is truly surrounded by greatness. I want to take the opportunity to celebrate one of those great organizations. You know, everybody knows that my son races jet skis professionally. What many people don't know is that he incurred a hand injury in Hurricane Sally, in a recovery from Hurricane Sally that threatened to end his career as a racer. He had surgery done at Andrews Institute, and then his recovery was done at the Hand Institute, Robert, up in your district, by the mall. Brett had his first race post-surgery last weekend and came home with a first-place trophy from St. Cloud.
That's fantastic.
You know, there is the interesting thing about Andrews Institute is that it's the kind of care that is usually reserved for only the elite, and yet here in Escambia County, it's available, like, literally to everybody of all walks of life. Very impressive organization and, you know, quite frankly, saved a kid's chance to chase a dream.
That's awesome.
So hats off to Andrews Institute and to the Hand organization up there. get a little caught up in it. But watching him, seeing him post that, the pictures of him on the dais and popping that champagne cork and all of that, I thought those days were behind us and weren't going to happen again. So hats off to Andrews Institute for that work. Thanks.
I mean, that's not a story you're going to hear too often, but you should, because they do stuff like this for people all the time. And just, it's cool. Cool to the Andrews Institute. Cool for bringing this out. And as he said, you know, dad getting choked up a little bit talking about his son's racing career. That's good stuff, man. I'll take it. Very, very Escambia County. 8:53 here on News Radio 92 and Santa Rosa, of course, as well. 8:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, a good day for the Pensacola Blue Wahoos last night as they came away with a 4-1 victory over the Birmingham Barons, tying up that series at one apiece. And now they're going to be hopefully extending that to a 2-game win streak as they take on the Barons again tonight. First pitch at 6:35. And as always, you can catch all of their games on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. Andrew, which NFL game are you going to this year? Well, you have a lot to choose from because the schedules were released last night. Of course,
you know, I've never been.
You've never been to an NFL game?
No, I wish I had. Never went to a Cardinals game when we were in Phoenix. Never went to a Rams game when I was in St. Louis. I grew up in Detroit, Chicago. I've never been. It's one of those, like, I always wish I had, but I just haven't.
Yeah, and I've admitted this. I'm being from the Tampa area, I've never been to a Bucs game.
So you're not a fan.
Well, I'm a fan, but I can never sit here and say I'm a super fan like I am of the Rays.
Yeah,
because we had season tickets for that.
For me, I don't have an NFL team, so it doesn't bother me. You know, I like the game of football. I don't have a team.
Right. So like, but I've been to Saints games, and oddly, I've been to a Colts game in Indianapolis, but I've never been to a Bucs game. But so I've been to the NFL games. Looking to go to a Saints game this year. They'll get their season underway, but the first game of the year will be the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Bucs taking on the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be Thursday, September 9th. I'm David Sound with Quick Shot of Sports.
All right, 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, it's the kind of thing I'm going to mention briefly, not get into too much of the detail, but you know the Bill and Melinda Gates... God, my mouth today. The Bill and Melinda Gates divorce. Apparently, this is not a big surprise to insiders. I don't really follow them much, but... I've said before, I'm not a fan of divorce. I think it's way overused, and it's a bad thing almost every time. Not every time, but almost every time. Anyway, not a friendly split. Lots of problems behind the scenes, including... What was the thing? He's got some arrangement with her that he goes every year on some vacation with his former girlfriend or something. I'm like, what? That's not something that really you would think of being the common thing that people do. But yeah, I guess that's okay. I'm out at this point. I'm not dealing with this anymore. A58 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news. Davis and I predict the future with our great ability to get it right at least half the time. Tonight at the city council meeting in Pensacola, they're going to consider whether to approve the next chief of police, Eric Randall. Will they?
They will.
Oh, yeah, no problem. They will also consider spending $290,000 to revamp all of the insignia for the Pensacola Police Department to get rid of the second Confederate national flag and replace it with the Florida flag. Will they approve that spending?
Yes, but can we just go ahead and get it right this time? Just end it there.
Good luck. Hope nothing changes in the culture. I think they'll probably approve it as well. Pace Boulevard, a road diet, reduction in speed. Is that going to happen? Will it make for fewer pedestrian bicyclist incidents there?
I don't really think it's going to be much of a diet, and no, nothing's going to change.
Striping the road does not change the visual appearance of the road. I do not think this will make much of a difference. But, hey, I drive that road. I don't want it to be slower, but I do want it to be safer. And the issue there is pedestrians and bicyclists. Tiny homes passed in Milton. Will you see tiny home developments prop up?
Yes.
I do think so. They also passed a resolution asking for permitless concealed carry, 18 years to purchase a gun and same day acquisition of the gun. Will any of those happen in the Florida legislature?
They will.
No, I don't think so, unfortunately. And will we solve the issues in EMS with the new MS chief we fired in Escambia County?
No.
Yes, big improvements coming.